In Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries out, Zion Doresh Ein La. Zion doesn't have people seeking after it, longing for it, the way that would be appropriate. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed learns out from here, Miklal Debai Drisha, that from here we learn out that there's a chiyuv to long for Yerushalayim, and even to perform acts that express that longing for Yerushalayim. Someone once came to Rav Yashav and asked him, why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu bemoan the fact that nobody is seeking out Yerushalayim? What do you mean? In every Shemona Esrei, we say, Yerushalayim Ircha Brachim Tashuv. In benching, we say, Uvnei Yerushalayim. Of course we're seeking out after Yerushalayim. And Rav Yashav shook his head, that's called longing for Yerushalayim? So Rav Yashav's son-in-law, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, gave a number of examples of what would be considered showing and expressing a longing for Yerushalayim. One of the recommendations that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein made was that every Jew should acquire for himself 3 trees in the land of Eretz Yisrael, in close enough proximity that's mechayiv him in taking off trumos and maestros and maeser ani, and that during Shemitah he could be mechayim the mitzvos of not working the land. That would be an expression of somebody longing to connect to Eretz Yisrael and to be chayiv in whatever mitzvos that tluyas ba'aretz he's able to. One who lives in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Zilberstein recommended, that a person plants for himself a pomegranate tree. This is because Emir Tashem B'mhera B'yameinu be chayiv again in Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach requires the owner to roast his korban on a stick of wood over a fire, but that wood could only be from a tree that doesn't get moist or give off any juices or water when it gets hot, because the korban needs to be completely roasted in fire and not cooked in the slightest. And if the tree were to give off any water, that would a little bit cook the korban. And the only tree that's kosher for roasting the Korban Pesach on it is the pomegranate tree. So one who's yearning to bring the Korban Pesach again is going to plant for himself a pomegranate tree because he wants to make sure that he and all of his friends have enough branches of a pomegranate tree available when the time comes, b'mhera b'yameinu. And in fact, a lot of the Jews living in Rav Zilberstein's neighborhood in Ramat El-Hanan took the Rav's advice and planted in their yards pomegranate trees. Another expression, of course, of yearning for the Geula to come is when one learns the Masechtos of Zvachim and Menachos and the Halachos that come forth from them, so that we already know how to bring a korban when the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. If we're really waiting at the edge of our seats, then we need to know these Halachos already. And I think it's especially appropriate for anybody that's a Kohen to feel the responsibility to learn at least the Mishnayos and the Halachos and the Rambam about Korbanos to enough familiarize themselves with it that they're at least a little bit closer towards being ready when the Beis Hamikdash comes down. Avraham Leib Steinman even said that perhaps Leviim should be preparing themselves for singing. Another example that Rav Zilberstein brings is from the Anhaga of Rav Monk. He was a Kohen that used to grow his fingernails very long, that they should be ready to do malika, to shech the chicken with his fingernail, the way that a korban ha'of is properly shechted, right when the geula comes. He wanted his fingers to be ready for that. During the days of the Iron Curtain in Russia, there was a Jew living in Siberia that was trapped there, and suddenly one day, and he still till today doesn't know why, the Soviets decided to give him permission to get out of Russia and go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, before he left the country, he had a friend, a Jewish woman doctor, Dr. Shapira, and she heard that he's going to be going to Eretz Yisrael, and she told him, I have a request for you. I want you to take from me a package to Eretz Yisrael. She quickly went into her laboratory, took out a surgical knife, and cut off a piece of her finger, and put it into a jar with the proper chemicals to preserve that piece of her finger. And she gave him the jar, and he must have been shocked. And she asked him, please bury a piece of my finger on Har HaZeisim. I really yearn to be in Yerushalayim, and if I can't get out of this country, I want that at least a piece of me is there. He was very moved and shooken up, and indeed he fulfilled her request. Right when he got to Eretz Yisrael, one of the first things that he did was he went to Har HaZeisim and he buried her finger. He even then asked the Chevra Kedisha if they could put a little sign in the area that he buried it to say, here is buried a piece of so-and-so's finger. Now, what Dr. Shapira did was a sin. You're not allowed to cut off pieces of your body. But she had the most beautiful, lofty intentions. She even explained her actions based on the Leviim. The Midrash said that when Nebuchadnezzar asked the Levim to sing their songs in Bavel and to play their instruments, Shiru lanu meshir Tzion, sing to us from the songs of Tzion from Yerushalayim, play your instruments. They responded by cutting off their fingers that they wouldn't be able to play for him. They were disgusted by his request. Eich nashir et shir Hashem, al admas nechar. How can we sing the songs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a foreign land? They didn't say, Lo nashir et shir Hashem, we will not sing those songs. They said, how could we sing those songs? We don't have fingers to play the instruments. And the Midrash even says that those Levim that cut off their fingers, that as a reward for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted them an extra 70 years of life that they could be alive when they would be able to return to Eretz Yisrael and see the next base of Mikdash 70 years later. But even so, what Shapira did was wrong. She maimed herself. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Zilberstein's brother-in-law, said for sure they could write such a sign. Because Dr. Shapira was Doresh Etzion. She was seeking out Yerushalayim. That was an expression of tremendous yearning for Eretz Yisrael. Also, sometimes we could do something that would express a lack of proper yearning for Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. For example, says Rav Zilberstein, he's not happy when people call different wedding halls and simcha halls by a title which includes within it the word Heichal. Heichal this or Heichal that. Because Heichal was a word that expressed an area of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's one thing if you name a Beis Midrash or a yeshiva or a shul using the word Heichal. Okay, that might show a longing that but you really want the real Beis HaMikdash. But to name a wedding hall or a simcha hall with the term Heichal, that should be painful for somebody to take that word that we want to be used for the Beis HaMikdash and to use it for something mundane. And when somebody uses these names and calls other buildings that are not holy with those titles, that would be a lack of longing and yearning for Yerushalayim. Personally, I would like to add to that one that when people refer to the Bells Beis Midrash or any other massive shul and say, whoa, it's like the Beis HaMikdash, that's a very painful thing, I think, to hear, and one should feel uncomfortable saying that. Nothing compares to the Beis HaMikdash.